Reading this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 2, Texts 18 and 19. Yesterday, we heard how Uddhava was feeling pain, dunoti, and great grief and distress, kedayati, thinking, remembering about the apparent contradictory nature of Krishna's pastimes. The pain was that ordinary people would consider Krishna ordinary, because it looks like, he's like us. And some of the contradictions starts with his birth. He who is unborn is born, and he who never dies dies or departs from this world. So it looks like he's one of us. And then further, that Krishna in the prison house of Kamsa was afraid of Kamsa, so he requested Vasudeva to carry him away from the prison house of Kamsa and then hid himself incognito in disguise out of fear of Kamsa. Appears. And then when he came back, he comes before his mother and father and says, Oh mother, please forgive us. It's us, it's Krishna and Balaram, too. Being greatly fearful of Kamsa, we could not serve you. So here's, we didn't read this yesterday, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explaining how it is that Uddhava's heart was conflicted or afflicted by all of these things. Krishna is consoling and pleading with his parents. We were greatly fearful of Kamsa. If this statement is true, it is a contradiction to his position as the Lord. How can he be fearful? And if it's false, how can the Lord speak untrue words? A point that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is making is that when Uddhava again had the opportunity to associate with Krishna, because he's just been with Krishna, he raised these questions and Krishna satisfied him. But persons that don't have that association would similarly have grief. Why is Krishna lying? Or if Krishna's not lying, is he really afraid? How can I forget his humility, conforming to convention? Meaning, the contradiction is, he's the Supreme Lord. What's this expression of humility? It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, taking sannyas, and Lord Nityananda, and Jagatananda Pandit and others, they didn't like this. Sannyas, carry a danda and undergo austerities, and it's disconsonant with their feelings towards him. He's the Supreme Lord. He is the most worshipable. At the same time, they have many other wonderful, loving feelings towards him, but he's the Supreme. He's worshipable. Why austerities? It conflicted their heart. But here he is, he's Krishna, and he's supplicating with folded hands before his mother and father. He who has no mother and father is coming before his mother and father and taking this conventional, appropriate, very pleasing expression of humility. Vishwanath says, it simply serves to nourish his sweetness. Even though he's the highest form of the Lord, this conduct pierces my heart like an arrow. So it's like churning multiple emotions at the same time. So now that's the background for this morning's verse. The flavor is missed by just taking one verse, because the continuity is so important, just like a stream of ecstatic consciousness coming from Uddhava. So, text 18, the next text, he says, who, after smelling the dust of his lotus feet, even once, could forget it? Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given death blow to those who are burdening the earth. You'll see where he's going with this. Next, you have personally seen how the king of Chedi, who's the king of Chedi? Chedi Raj, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success with great interest by performance of their various practices. Who can tolerate separation from him? That's where he's getting. This person, this glory, that glory, this glory, that glory, this glory, that glory, who can tolerate his separation? Because there's this overriding emotion, because Vidura has asked about Krishna, Uddhava's feeling great separation from Krishna. So, while the overriding emotion is separation, that separation is causing remembrance, and very acute, intensified remembrance. And in it, then there's the subtext, or the sub-theme, or the sub-emotions, where the contradictions of Krishna's apparent contradictions of Krishna's pastimes are, he's disclosing them, and he's disclosing his feelings towards them. He's resolving the contradictions, but he's, you know, he's so glorious, who can bear separation from him? That's the, it's like a symphony. You know, there's a major strain of a musical score, and then there's some instruments that go over here, and some instruments over there, and some instruments over there, and some, it's this main theme. So it's just like a beautiful composition of transcendental poetry. Very beautiful. So, he who is coming before his parents pleading for forgiveness for their offense, their mistake of not properly serving Kamsa because they were so afraid of Kamsa. But that same person, just the once having smelled the fragrance of the dust of his lotus feet, I mean, What a beautiful expression. You know, the dust from somebody's feet has fragrance. But the dust on Krishna's feet has fragrance. Because Krishna's feet he's the supreme form of the Lord. And having just once, he, who having just once smelled a piece of dust from his lotus feet is crying before his mother and father, please forgive me, or us, out of fear of Kama so he didn't serve you. It's conflicting to Uddhava's heart. His eyebrows, just by the poetry is so nice. By expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, I mean not even just by the movements, but even further poetry, expanding the leaves. So it's like when you have a plant that's growing, it's springtime, so lots of plants growing. So they start with these little, but as spring goes, the leaves open. And it's very beautiful, especially many colors and shapes and varieties. So Krishna's eyebrows expand like leaves, and by seeing the expanding leaves of the eyebrows of Krishna, demons are destroyed. He didn't have to do anything. He's so powerful. He's before his mother and father crying, I'm afraid of Kamsa, I'm sorry. And then Shishupal, Vidura was in that same assembly, so he's sharing something that Vidura had direct experience of. And Shishupal, so nasty, inimical to Krishna to the max, as they say. Bhakti Chaitanya Swami tells this so nicely. When Shishupal was born, because he was related to Krishna, in the home, newborn child, there was some talk about Krishna. When Shishupal heard Krishna's name spoken as a small child, he began to scream. You know, there's children that cry and then there's a scream. And he was screaming. Everyone came running. What's wrong? What's wrong? And he was screaming and screaming and screaming all day long and all night long and the next day. And it went on for 3 weeks. Screaming. Just to hear the sound of Krishna's name. It was built into his genes, he despised Krishna. And in the Rajasuya Yagya, when Krishna was being glorified, Grandfather Bhishma was given the first opportunity because he's the elder, Grandfather Bhishma. Grandfather Bhishma was very happy. He stood up and expressed the glories of Krishna to his heart's content. And Bhishma, he's one of the Mahajans, so he knows exactly. And everyone, except Shishupal, respects the words of Grandfather Bhishma as absolute. And he was describing Krishna as the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, the same as the super soul who is now manifest amongst us, and there he is, appearing as if an ordinary person, our relative, my immediate family relative. He's the personality of Godhead. And everyone was so happy, except Shishupal. He couldn't take it. Soon as Grandfather Bhishma was up, he jumped up and began pointing at Krishna and saying vicious things, cruel things, insulting things. Bhima grabbed his sword. He was going to finish Shishupal. Krishna just went like this, let him finish. Oh. 100 times, because there's some detail, I forget the detail, that Krishna was had given some promise. So 100 times Sudarshan Chakra manifested and severed that speaking part of his body from the rest of his body. And in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, it says same thing in principle but different language. A light left the body of Shishupal and merged into the body of Krishna, and everyone saw it. Later, Yudhishthira Maharaj asks Narada, who was also in the same assembly, how is this? Here Uddhava is not saying how is this, he's just saying this is the nature of our Lord. Because this nasty, vicious, mean, wicked, envious, mean-spirited person gave up his life in the presence of Krishna. He achieved that which yogis, after years and decades and lifetimes of great austerity and effort, never achieve. And this nasty, mean, bad person achieve liberation. Who can tolerate separation from him? That's the glories and glories and glories. And so it's the different musical instruments, the different voices, the different expressions of Krishna's glories, his ultimate perfection. He's tasting by describing the divinity or the supremacy, the superlative attractiveness of Krishna. And then this overriding emotion. Who can tolerate separation from him? The point that Prabhupada is making in the purport, strongly, I'll read. It is a fact that persons who are trying to understand the Supreme Truth by their personal endeavors of mental speculation or mystic powers of yoga achieve the same goal as others who are personally killed by the Lord. So what does that say about how exalted are the endeavors of great austerities and mental speculation to try to become one with the Lord? People think, oh, this is very spiritual. But as far as our acharyas are concerned, it's no better than an enemy being killed by Krishna. The destination is no different. Because where's the devotion? Where's the feeling? It's like maximum selfishness. It's like, you know, a greedy, 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 oh, greedy person. Who likes that person? Whatever wealth they may have, their spirit, their disposition is so greedy, greedy. Let them take their wealth and stay away from me. But even more is, okay, I'm detached from that greed, I want something more. I want to become one with the Supreme. That's what it is. That's what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this idea of mukti or liberation, commonly, and that was 500 years ago, it's also true today, commonly when people hear mukti, it means merging. When there's merging, there's no service. So who wants a situation with no service? Hellish. But even worse, there's merging with the effulgence of the Lord, but there's merging with the body of the Lord. Merging with the body of the Lord. There he is. He's a person. I want to become him or one with him. Abominable. More abominable. Oh, I don't like that. That was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But at the same time, compare that attainment, merging with the body of the Lord, which is what Shishupal achieved, with a yogi who's striving for years and decades and lifetimes to achieve the same thing. Just, you know, take a shortcut, become an enemy of Krishna, be killed by Krishna. How glorious is that? There's another perspective. Another perspective is presented in the teachings of Rishabhdev, where Rishabhdev is expressing to his sons, Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahor Vimuktes. That's how the verse begins. Mahat, great souls, Sevam, so service unto the great souls. Dvaram is the entryway, the doorway, or the gateway. Ahor Vimuktes, to liberation. And Prabhupada in the purport says, there are two types of transcendentalists, the impersonalist and the impersonalist. It doesn't make any differentiation to say that one's, you know, hellish, abominable. Just there to, because it is a transcendental position, to be no longer in contact with matter and the modes of nature and the forces of karma. That's a state of liberation. Neutrality. It's a liberated state. So it's a category. And in this world, one who is liberated from this world is revered. It's a liberated state. It's very, 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 very special. And not only, you know, numerically uncommon, it's beyond the modes of nature. It's transcendental. So in one sense, it's glorious. And one who serves such a person, Mahat Sevam, Dvaram Ahor Vimuktes, is a means to achieve liberation. So people who serve the impersonalist, perfected impersonalist, may also achieve perfected impersonalism. it's the entryway, the dvaram, into the realm of liberation. But as far as a devotee is concerned, Prabodhananda Saraswati has also described Narakayate. It's narak, it's hellish, this position of liberation from the perspective of a devotee. Why? No service. What's a place where there's no service? It's hellish. No service. Or constitutionally a servant. No service. You know, put yourself in a straitjacket and bound and gagged and thrown in a padded cell and, you know, suppress your individuality so that you can't hear anything, speak anything, do anything, smell anything, feel anything. Ah, liberation. Hellish. Give you some service. Krishna. So that position where there's this devoid of service to Krishna, hellish. Call it whatever you like, liberation, mukti, hellish, without service to Krishna. And then conversely, in any situation, give me some service. I can serve Krishna in any circumstance. Just give me some service to Krishna. Then the external thing is not, you know, the source of happiness or distress. It's the service unto Krishna. So now the predominating emotion is Uddhava's attachment to Krishna. He's gone. Who can bear separation from Krishna? But we'll see as he goes on, because of those intense feelings of attachment for Krishna, he'll continue to speak about Krishna. It's like the gopis in their separation. Krishna left the rasa dance. They went mad. And just to assist one another in remembering Krishna, they were enacting Krishna's pastimes. This inaptness. And one was different demons, and Krishna would kill the different demons, and so many things. So many things that they would just enact the pastimes like mad women so that they could remember Krishna. And by that remembrance of Krishna, one can feel the presence of Krishna. So we're just doing this in, you know, little drops each day, a little verse by Uddhava, and then another one by Uddhava, and another one by Uddhava. But it's a whole other thing if you just like it's a pouring of Uddhava's emotion one after the next after the speech. Very sublime. We can also experience strong emotion and attraction to Krishna by regularly hearing. Extended time is especially nice. Regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Any discussion? Yes.
About the sacrifice, when I hear about the sacrifices of Krishna and his representatives, like it used to give me so much motivation to take up this process and practice sincerely Maharaj, but nowadays even the sacrifices, those things are not touching. I mean, I'm not able to access that enthusiasm or something. So could you please tell, what can I do?
Go on hearing. What happens when you have fever? What to do? Take medicine. Our material condition of life is compared to a feverish condition. We have a high temperature, we can't think straight, and we feel awful. What do? Go to a good physician, take proper medicine. Be careful what you eat.
Shishupal is the god curse, the Jaya Vijaya. So I was wondering how come he's merging into the last body.
It's a lila. Because this is the third time they were cursed three births as demons. This is the third time. Because they were killed by Krishna, in fact, they returned to their position as Jaya Vijaya, except for the fact that there's this parallel manifestation in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. And they became delivered to become devotees. But in Krishna's Leela, Shishupal merged into the body of Krishna. I've not read, I'm sure there's a description somewhere by our acharyas that describe this. The appearance of Shishupal entering into the body of Krishna and the fact that this is Jai and Vijay, and they did return to the position of gatekeepers of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Again, an apparent contradiction here. I'm sure there's some explanation. But that's in fact what happened. They returned to the spiritual world in the Vaikuntha planet, in their position. Their wish while in Vaikuntha was to serve the Lord by giving him satisfaction in his chivalrous nature. So who can satisfy the Lord? Tendency for chivalry is devotee. So they took that role. And having completed that, returned. But the Leela is entering into the body of, because they were playing their roles very well. They were enemies. Krishna. So with Putana, there was some service. With Shishupal, there was no service. It was just enmity. But behind that behavior of enemy, they're devotees, ultimately. In fact, all souls, ultimately, they're Krishna's parts and parcels. They're not some souls that are inimical and some souls that are devotees. So, by Narada's answer to Yudhisthira is just see what is the effect of Krishna's name. Shishupal was purified by calling Krishna's name even in scorn. So if even in scorn one can become liberated, free from all reactions of all bad activities and beyond the modes of nature just by calling Krishna's name in scorn, then Narada reasons what to speak of if one calls a devotion. So he wasn't calling in devotion. Were he to have called Krishna in devotion, called Krishna's name in devotion, then it would certainly make sense, return to his spiritual position. But this is Leela. They're actually devotees. They made no offense to the four Kumaras. Although Krishna accepted that they had made, the Kumaras accepted, and so Krishna supported, oh, they've made some offense to you. I accept the responsibility for this. And also supported that, you know, their curse should be upheld because he doesn't interfere with the words of a brahmana. He supports them. So they became demons. Inimical to Krishna, not even with Putana. No service. No mood of service. There was a service. He was showing Krishna supremacy. His quality of tolerance and so forth. If I run across that explanation, I'll let you know. Our Acharya is giving the detail of, although he merged, how did he return to Vaikuntha? Yes?
In this section, like Uddhava is talking about his pain and distress, and you know, he's describing Krishna's activities. I have some appreciation of it, but I certainly can deeply appreciate it. But I was thinking about how like the pure devotees of the Lord are also similarly out of wanting to give pleasure to Guru and Krishna and to the living entities. There's no end to the degree of the sacrifices we take upon ourselves. And sometimes it actually gives me great pain, or it breaks my heart to see certain activities that the pure devotees or sacrifices that they're taking upon themselves, especially when I see that somebody is exploiting the kindness of a pure devotee, or something that a pure devotee doesn't have to do, but he just does it. And I feel like this predicament, I feel like I can't say anything, but then there's this pain, and the pure devotee of the Lord is as independent as the Lord Himself. And I have these emotions, what to do.
The spiritual world is filled with rich variety of emotions. Just thinking of on the superlative level, Lord Nityananda breaking the danda of Śrīmad Caitanya. Having a conversation with the danda. Who are you? You imposter. You represent my Lord's renunciation? He's the supreme enjoyer. Threw the danda in the river. Or Jagatananda wanting to make a nice bed for Lord Chaitanya, or nice first class sandalwood oil. And so on. Lord Chaitanya not accepting that service for all the reasons that he gave. What will people say, a sannyasi? Da 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 da. Jagatananda doesn't know what he's doing. He's like a small boy. He doesn't understand anything. Give this sandalwood oil to the deity. Anyway. So there's different moods. The pain of a superior can be the feeling of love of the superior. Like Krishna, just listening to Prabhupada describing Krishna receiving the arrows of Bhishma. He was driving Arjuna's chariot, and Bhishma knew Arjuna won't be able to tolerate Krishna being harmed, so he fired arrows at Krishna. And Krishna was receiving the arrows. You know the explanation given in Nectar and Devotion, like love, the bites of a lover. You know, someone that bites another person is like, you know, disgusting. But sometimes a lover may bite the beloved, and the beloved thinks, oh, this is very nice. So Krishna was taking the arrows of Bhishma as very nice. It depends on the circumstance. I remember Hari Sori describing when finally the Juhu property issue was settled, you know, without the detail of how it was settled, it was going on for years. And wherever Prabhupada was, it was on his mind because it was so important to him in service to Krishna. And, you know, so much austerity and trouble and so on. And when it was all over, one evening, after a program, he brought Prabhupada his milk. And Prabhupada was sitting there, sipping the milk, saying, "It was a good fight." It's service to Krishna. So, you know, on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's just part of a loving relationship with Krishna to serve with this austerity or that inconvenience or trouble or any other categories of things you mentioned.
Thanks, Maharaj, for the class, but I have one question. How Narada and Prahlad Maharaj pray the... I mean, they pray Hare Krishna or they pray Narayana? Hare Krishna, how they pray?
Well, Prahlad was a devotee of Lord Nrisimhadev, right? So I don't know what mantra he chanted, but he certainly offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, and he didn't address him as Hare Krishna or Narayan. He addressed him as Lord Nrisimhadev. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev. Nara, Simha. Man, lion. Half man, half lion. That's the form that was worshipable, or worshipped. And Narada, Radhika Ramana Namine, he's a Krishna Bhakta, for sure. And the various names of Krishna he would sing. Narada appears at the very beginning of this present day of Lord Brahma. And the present day of Lord Brahma it's about noon. There's 14 Manus in each day of Brahma. We're in the Manu number 7. In the 28th Yuga cycle out of 71. So it's like midday. It's like 11:30, 11:45. Midday. In Brahma's day. But since, so it's not that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is especially for Kali Yuga, which is one of the yugas of the four. So what he gave to Dhruva the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So different than Hare Krishna, but it's Krishna. Vasudeva is Krishna. So names of Krishna, Narada, Prahlad, names of Lord Nrisimhadev. That's Yudhishthira. Is that all right? Anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Kidyaya.
Isolina Shila Rampa Narayana.